Yes, Lord, we worship you this morning. God, we worship you. That is who you are. God, you are the way maker. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. You are the one true God. You are above all other gods, Lord. You are the one true mighty God, the healer, the deliverer, the creator. We worship you today. Lord Jesus, we know you are the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. There's no other way. There's no other way to have forgiveness. There's no other way to have eternal life. There's no other way. You are the way. You made the way. And we thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross, living that sinless life, dying on the cross for our sins, shedding your blood to pay the price for each of us, for all of mankind. And all you ask us to do is believe, repent of our sin, and follow you. And you'll give us your spirit, your grace, your power, your strength to walk this thing out. Lord, I praise you and I worship you this morning. I thank you for the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, Lord. Scattered all over the world, but the true church, Lord, that walks in the light of truth, the light of your word. I thank you for that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Oh, my. Can somebody say, oh, my? I'm going to be honest this morning. You know me. I can't act. I'm not an actor. That's why it wouldn't have worked well in Hollywood for me. But, you know, I'm just a little overwhelmed. I'm going to tell you why I'm overwhelmed this morning. It's in a good way. Because, you know, I've talked about the importance of obeying God and doing God's will, whatever he tells you to do. And, of course, you preach that kind of stuff. You have to live it, you know. As a leader, God would make you an example. So many of you know I've been on one of the craziest journeys of my life the last 2 years. Running for governor of Alabama, something I never dreamed I would do or thought I would do, but I know the Lord led me to do it, no matter what the outcome tomorrow. But let me tell you what I've been overwhelmed with. I've been overwhelmed by the love and the prayers of God's people throughout this state. There's a hunger out there for the truth. There's a hunger out there for true leadership. And there's God's people all over this state, I'm telling you. And I wouldn't have met them if I hadn't done this. You know, and this passage came to my mind this morning. You know, I'm even a tough preacher, so I don't talk about this too often. But John 13:34-35, Jesus said this right before he went to be crucified. He's with his disciples. And he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, love, folks, it's not always an emotional feeling. Love is when, first of all, you love the truth. You can't walk in true love unless you love the truth of God's word. Unless you love the truth about everything, you cannot walk in love. And love does not mean there's no problems or confrontations or rebuke or correction or difficulties or strife or division. I mean, in a church family, in a regular family, between a husband and a wife, between parents and children, there's always going to be difficulties. There's always going to be strife. There's always going to be division at times. There's always going to be difficult communication at times. And that happens in the regular family. It happens in the church family. Love, though, means you're committed. You're committed beyond your feelings. And one thing I can tell you, I know about this church and many of the Christians that I have come to meet now across the state of Alabama, is that they love one another. Because let me tell you, I've seen people sacrifice their money, their time, their prayers, working hard, getting no pay for it. And you know, love, true love, embodies sacrifice. And what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is when you give of yourself expecting nothing in return. That's almost a foreign term now in the world. But as Christians, we know that it takes sacrifice to do anything worthwhile, to make any progress in this world, because we live, folks, in an evil, evil world. We live in an evil time beyond anything. Jesus even said that the last days that we're living in would be the most evil. He said it would be a time like there never has ever been. And we're in it. And he warned that it would be possible for our love to grow cold. And another thing he said, too, about love, he said, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. What is laying down your life? You know what your life is, don't you? It's your time. It's your energy. It's your strength. Because we all have a limited amount of time. You know when you, and that's why money is so important. You know, your money is your life. You know that, right? Because what you did was you exchanged some of the limited time you have to work for somebody else, or to work for yourself even, but to work and give up what you wanted to do to get some money. That's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Because that's part of your life. So when people sacrifice their time, their strength, their energy, their money, they're giving of their lives. And, you know, the days ahead, as it gets more and more difficult, as financial hardship comes, as food shortages come, as more persecution comes to the true church of Jesus Christ in America and across the world, it is going to be paramount to us that we make sure we do not let our love grow cold. You know that verse in Matthew 24 where it says, the love of many will grow cold. That's the word agape. And the word agape had to be created by the Christians in the first century because it didn't exist. But that word agape means it's the God kind of love. It's the love willing to sacrifice. It's the love willing to walk in the truth. It's the love willing to do the right thing for you, even if you think somebody's not doing the right thing for you. It's a whole different kind of love. And he says it's that kind of love that's going to wax cold in many. You got that verse right there? You can put it up, Matthew 24. And we've got to be careful we don't let that happen. Because the world's going to get meaner, nastier. You think about people now, how things are. Wait till they can't find food. Wait till the monkeypox is on them. Or whatever, smallpox. But this is because the iniquity shall abound. This is in the last days. Because iniquity, injustice. Not just sin, but that word's injustice. Because injustices shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. He's talking about Christians allowing their love to grow cold. And love for one another. And I just want to tell you, I've seen it, though, across this state. I've seen people that are out of a job, but out working for us without getting paid for it. Out preaching the gospel and talking about how we need a godly leader in the state. And I want to just tell you, it's absolutely overwhelming. What people have, the work that our volunteers have done across the state. And most of them are born-again Christians. And they have worked so hard. So I'm just telling you, I'm just overwhelmed by it. One of the reasons I do want to win, I don't like losing. At anything. I don't care if it's marbles. I don't like losing. But you know one of the biggest reasons I don't want to lose? I don't want to disappoint one of you and all of you that's worked so hard. But I know. I'm just saying. I look at it as it's been a group effort. And it's been a big undertaking. But you know what? I've just learned so much. I've learned so much about our state, about this church, for sure. Our folks out there, that our extended church family that watch us every week, I'm rooting for you, Pastor Dean. I'm praying for you every day, fasting for you, doing everything they can do to get the word out to everybody they can. And, you know, driving here today, you know, again, it's just overwhelming. But driving here today, it was just me and Faith. And Faith just basically said, "Dad, we've done everything we could do." I said, "Yep." Left it all on the field, brother. But more than anything, I hope it's been a lesson to you guys. Do what God tells you to do, no matter how hard it is. No matter how difficult, you do what God tells you to do. Over and over again, I say the will of God is the most important thing. Because when you do the will of God, when you humble yourself, you know, Jesus humbled himself. The Bible says this in Philippians 2. He humbled himself and became obedient. You want to walk in humility? You want to walk in the light? You want to walk in love? You simply humble yourself and do the will of God. You obey him. And he will give you the grace and the strength to love one another, to not quit, to not give up, even when you're tired. Even when the devil comes, the devil loves to come and attack you when you're tired. Doesn't he? He always picks it when you're tired. And then he'll, especially if he catches you tired and hungry. And here comes the devil. How do we know that? Jesus was in the wilderness fasting. Who led him into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. It says to be tempted of the devil. Sometimes the Lord leads you into a wilderness and allows the devil to come and tempt you when you're tired and hungry. Pretty miserable. I don't know about y'all. I've been in the desert before. There's a whole level of thirsty that you reach in the desert. But the Lord promised. What did the Lord do? Did he forsake Jesus while he was in the wilderness being tempted? And when he resisted that temptation, when Jesus resisted the temptation to continue to walk in obedience and walk in the will of the Father, what did he do? He said he sent angels that strengthened him. I know some of you probably feel you're going through stuff and you feel like, I'm not going to make it. It's too much. I don't have the strength. It's overwhelming me. I feel like I'm going to cave in under the pressure, under the heartbreak, or under the pain, or under the loss. I can tell you right now, If you will just hang on to him, obey him, love him, he will give you the strength you need to get through. I don't care what it is. You know, think about this year, not just running for governor this year. I nearly died from the coronavirus. I was sicker than I've ever been in my life. The darkness was closing in. The doctor that was treating me told Nancy just the other day, he said, he didn't tell me this during the time, but he told her the other day, he said, I didn't think he was going to make it. And I had that moment where, you know, you're like, is this it, Lord? And I would tell him, I don't think it is. I feel like it is. But I don't think you're done with me yet. And that was in August. You know what had happened? Just a few weeks before that, my sister died. That one still hurts. It hadn't been an easy year. But I can tell you this much. I know he is with me. He's been my strength and my shield and my provider. He's protected me and my family. He's blessed us beyond words can tell. And I know, too, it wouldn't have all been possible if you guys hadn't been praying. And the fasting times that y'all fasted, we fasted through different battles. I can just tell you, all I know is Nancy and Faith and I have felt loved and cared for and prayed for, and there ain't nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. And there's some more hard times coming. But just make sure you don't leave the place of prayer. Make sure you don't leave the Word of God. Make sure you get on your knees and cry out, Lord, no matter what's going on in this world, no matter what injustice, no matter what wickedness and evil or sin or betrayal, I will not let my love grow cold for people, period. I will love them enough to pray for them. I'll love them enough to fast for them. I will love them enough to share if they need something. I'll love them enough to correct them and rebuke them and get them back in the truth, back on the right path. I will love them enough to do whatever's necessary. Because, folks, when we do this as Christians, Jesus said, by this they will know that we are different than them. They will know we are his disciples. And again, love doesn't always look ushy, gushy, mushy. Sometimes it's tough. I'm tough on you because I love you and I want you to make it to heaven. That's why I'm not a little weak megachurch preacher, man. I'm not a motivational speaker. Because I know you got to have the truth. And sometimes, even as Christians, we don't always want the truth. We want to justify our unforgiveness or our bitterness or some lust or some desire or some idol in our life. We want to justify it. You need somebody that'll tell you what you don't want to hear. People that'll tell you what you don't want to hear but tell you the right thing is people that love you. That's why, what is it, Proverbs 27. Let's put that up. Proverbs 27, I think it's 5 and 6, if I remember correctly. I love this right here. Yeah, that's it. Faith, there you go, those two. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A friend that loves you will tell you the truth. A friend that loves you will correct you if you need to be corrected. But that friend will also share food with you if you don't have any. They'll also pay a bill if you can't pay it, and they can. Remember, James talked about it's not enough just to say, be warmed and filled, brother. said, you see your brother or sister have need of things. You help them. You share with them. And people are going to be watching us in the days ahead. They'll be watching how we treat each other. So far, it's been pretty good. Now, of course, there's always a few exceptions out there. There's some so-called Christians out there that are lukewarm, backslidden, and backstabbers, but there's even hope for them. They just need to ask God forgiveness and repent. Stop being Judas. Amen? You know, I just, this is just me being me, y'all. I can't fake it. I do want to play a video, though, because I want to update you on, talk about some of these bad things that are coming. I love Mr. Greg Reese. He does a great job on his little short videos. But y'all need to see this. Actually, I wasn't able to be here last week and Sunday, so I wasn't kind of able to update you on this. But I did start incorporating this, even in my speeches out there to different groups on the campaign trail. I have been warning of things that are coming. And I like Greg Reese. He just kind of put it on a little synopsis. So we're going to let him show you this, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. But when you get ready for this stuff right here.
Many of us didn't see it yet in early 2020. But today, millions of us are now aware of the emerging one world government and their deceitful plans to seize power hidden under the guise of world health. And many of us are now awake to the fact that this so-called New World Order is religiously paganistic, luciferic, and satanic. So it's no surprise that their coronation ball climaxes on May 28th with a devil-horned moon and the Jupiter-Mars conjunction, which is believed to bring success when starting a war. Their big week of megalomania begins on May 22nd in Switzerland, with both the World Health Organization's annual World Health Assembly and the World Economic Forum's annual meeting in Davos. In Geneva, the WHO will be voting on a pandemic treaty known officially as the Zero Draft Report of the Working Group on Strengthening WHO Preparedness and Response to Health Emergencies. This pandemic treaty will make them the directing and coordinating authority on international health. The WHO's Zero Draft Plan includes regular simulation exercises, global surveillance, more vaccines, more censorship, contact tracing, and digital vaccine passports. In Davos, Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum's annual meeting theme is History at a Turning Point. Their agenda includes more vaccines, more censorship, and more LGBTQI resilience. The same week in Indonesia, the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction is holding their annual global platform, where they will be planning for regular ongoing pandemic simulations, more global governance, more money to fight climate change, and ultimately accomplishing the United Nations 2030 Agenda, also known as the Great Reset. After the New World Order's narcissistic coronation week ends with the devil-horned moon and the Jupiter-Mars conjunction, Klaus Schwab and his fellow Satanists can celebrate with their friends at CERN. And then what? In March of 2021, the Nuclear Threat Initiative conducted a tabletop exercise simulating a global pandemic involving a monkeypox terrorist attack. Something that Bill Gates has told us to expect. The Biden administration has just bought millions of doses of monkeypox vaccines, and mysterious cases are now being reported. The final assault of the New World Order will involve a man-made bioattack, food shortages, FEMA camps, rolling blackouts, and endless riots. Violence may save your life someday, and it might save our freedom, but it's not a solution. If we really wanted to solve this problem, we could all peacefully convene at our local government council and demand either their allegiance to the Constitution or their immediate resignation. Because the New World Order is not going to surrender, and the entire U.S. government is under their control. This coming Memorial Day, remember and honor the ancestors who died for our freedom, because it may very well be our last.
Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. It offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
So things I've been talking about for 35 years is all coming to pass. And when they implement their digital health pass, you can go ahead and mark it down that's the road to the mark of the beast very quickly right there. So they're making their move, folks. How long it will take them, I don't know, but they're moving quickly now, quickly as possible. I knew when they were talking about the pandemic treaty and getting that done that it would be, they said it'd be urgent. It's urgent. It's only urgent because they're going to do something else. And they're using it to control us. And I talked about this, folks. I went into detail about this in 2015. Details about this, that they would use vaccines and health issues to lead to the mark of the beast. And this is where we are. So in the midst of all this, though, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what happens, you stay close to Jesus, love each other, help each other, pray for each other, and we will make it through. Amen? There's a verse that I want to read from 2 Thessalonians 1. Just so they know, because they love to watch me. They watch a lot of Pastor Dean sermons. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to start reading verse 3. And this is what I'm going to close with. We're going to have a super short message this morning. He says here, verse 3, we are bound, Paul speaking to the Thessalonian church, he said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Everybody see that? What's Paul praising them for first and foremost? That their faith was growing and their love for each other was abounding. We'll read that again. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in what? In all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So he's saying their faith was growing and their love for one another was growing? Because they were being persecuted. Persecution will either make your faith grow and make you love people more, or it'll make you fall away. One of the two. But he says here, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is the manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Seeing, and this is what I wanted to get to here, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense or repay tribulation to them that trouble you. Meaning, the Lord's watching these evil people. And all the trouble that they are causing us in the world, they are going to be repaid by God himself. Better hear that, wicked ones. What you sow, that shall you also reap. He goes on to say, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And he says it again, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So all this that we go through, being patient, remaining faithful in persecution, knowing that God will deal with our enemies, we don't have to. And then he says, it's all so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. So you will either, the way you live out the rest of these last days is either going to bring glory to Jesus Christ, or it's going to put him to an open shame, because you're going to trample the blood of Jesus and you're going to fall away and you're going to make a public embarrassment. One of the two. But I don't expect that of any of you, because you know the truth and you love the Lord. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Now, folks, in the days ahead, there's going to be many opportunities. Many situations where we're going to need a miracle. So I want to do that song again. We need a miracle. And we're going to go out of here worshiping the Lord. If you need a miracle this morning, ask him for it. Believe for it. You know what a miracle is? Something supernatural that you can't do. That no human ability or effort could do. Amen? Anybody in here need a miracle? I need a few of them. Two of them? All right. That would be a miracle, brother. It would be a miracle. Let's sing this song.
You're the same God today, and the same God tomorrow. Help me see the victory you already see. Let my faith be today what it will be tomorrow. When I've seen the victory you already see. Oh.
prayer this morning. He gets the glory. Yeah, Lord, it's all your glory, Jesus. All your glory. With the voice of triumph. It's all about Jesus. Let's do one more. Here we go.
We declare that your throne will last forever, Lord. We declare that your throne will last forever, Lord. You are Jesus. Hear the mighty thunder, an army without number, dancing on the kingdoms of this world. See the banner waving, hear the name they're praising. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So prepare the way for the ancient of days on a white horse. As it starts to ride, hear the people cry. Your throne will last forever throughout the endless days. Every knee bows down, every tongue say loud. Your throne will last. The Lamb is now a lion. He's bringing justice in his nail-scarred hand. And you know he's bringing down high places. The humble sing his praises. The King has returned to rule the land. Hey, so prepare the way. So prepare the way. Every generation
till all creation comes to see. Jesus, you are King.
Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. No matter what, folks, happens in this world, Jesus is coming back to rule and reign. Amen. No matter what happens, on Tuesday or any other day, we win. Amen. You follow him, you win. Y'all know the drill. Hug some necks before you leave.